Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing on this fine day?
I'm here to kill your monster, Chris.
You like my big voice?
I don't know why that came out. Yeah, I like your deep voice, and I very much enjoyed the fact that you started the show just as I was sipping my coffee. And I went, and you went, hello. Welcome. I was like, oh dear,
I hope that
that's
makes
a
it.
Bit loud, isn't it?
I hope that makes it in.
Oh yeah, yeah, it will do. I'm not that good at sorting the audio out or the edit out that closely, to be honest. So how are you doing, man? It's been a week of fun, games and all sorts.
Fun and not for me, mate. I've been in a bloody room editing all week, pumping out videos every turn. It's been a pretty hardcore week. Well, first with the Kyoto video, and then with the other video with Ryotaro, where we got drunk in a forest. I don't know if you caught that one.
Yes.
It was good fun.
I did indeed. I watched that yesterday while I was on. I've got a little elliptical trainer in the, a little kind of thing that exercises me, or I exercise it rather, in the garage. And I stick on a Abroad Japan, or I stick on a guy who goes around the old Soviet nations, bald and bankrupt.
Oh, I love him. He's great.
I don't think he's amazing, but I think he's, he sometimes says things about women that make me go cringe a little bit. But if he cut that out, I'd be more into him, to be honest. But he does go to some amazing places, some really interesting places, and he speaks Russian. And basically, I'm doing the elliptical trainer, and I feel like I've gone somewhere. I feel like I've been somewhere, to be quite frank. I watched a man. I'd run out of your videos, and I started watching a man driving around on a bike around the Yamanote Line.
Sounds amazing.
And Motosando and Shibuya, and just sort of like riding around. And he massively underestimated how long it was going to take, and he ends up doing half of it in the dark. It's brilliant.
The Yamanote Line around central Tokyo is a lot bigger than you think, honestly.
Yeah.
Not for the faint
of
heart.
It rattles around, doesn't it? A fair whack. So that's what I've been doing. So obviously I've been a real content vulture for the stuff you've been busting out. I've seen you in the forest with a Ryotaro drinking water out of a stream. Did it really taste that nice?
You know
Did
what?
The water out of the stream really taste that nice?
It wasn't that bad. For those of you who haven't seen it, right. I went on a trip with Ryotaro to Gunma Prefecture. It's about 2 hours outside of Tokyo. We're gradually kind of working our way down Japan, right? We've done Tohoku in the north 500 times. So we thought we'd mix it up, go somewhere new. And Gunma's kind of famous for its sake, because it's got a lot of mountains, and Sakebure is always bang on about how important the water is and how pure it needs to be and all this. And you kind of go, yeah, sure, yeah, whatever. And then this time the guy at the brewery is like, come with me. And you get in his car, you drive up into a forest up a mountain, you get out the car, you walk through a bunch of snow in this forest, and you come to this little stream, and he pulls out a champagne glass, sticks it in the stream, takes a sip, and he's like, yeah, umai. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he does it for you, and he sort of hands it over, and you kind of, I've never done this before. I don't think I've ever drunk out of a stream quite like that before. I sort of looked at the glass and inspected it to see if I could see anything in it, like a leaf or soil or something. But it was relatively pure, and I drank it, and it tasted just like Evian or any kind of bottled water. It was pretty good. It's pretty nice. free water.
And you're just out of the hospital now. So after your stomach getting pumped because of all of the disease, the hepatitis. It did look blooming delicious, and it did look very. I must give you mad props for how you filmed that one. You made Ryotaro and that man sat on a rock drinking sake look like some kind of goddamn dream.
I must admit, even I was blown away by that. It was delighting, right? We had the kind of morning light coming through the trees and the sort of the steam rising off the water or something. It just looked really picturesque. So there is a shot in that video that looks like a commercial for sake or something. So I was really proud
of
that.
Does.
There you go.
Yeah, you can't be pleased with that. Well, so all those hours in the at the editing call face have paid off. I like the programme, the little mini documentary about the man who converts and improves, refurbishes Kyoto townhouses.
Oh, yeah.
Very much enjoyed you doing a bit of shabu-shabu cooking in the middle of
shabu.
It.
Looked, sukiyaki.
Or whatever the hell it was. Sukiyaki.
Yeah,
it looked delicious. That looked amazing.
It's a bit daunting, though, because, as we all know, I can't cook. If anyone that's watching a Braun Japan video will know, I can't cook, even though I eat an awful lot of food. And, so I got this traditional inn, really beautiful place, and I'm sitting there alone in the evening, and the guy that runs it, really nice guy, he was like, here's your sukiyaki. And I was like, oh, great. Which is a hot pot, you know, with vegetables and beef and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you have to sort of, first of all, it's just a big hot pot with boiling water. And you have to sort of gradually put in the vegetables and then you put in the beef. And it's kind of an idiot-proof dish because it's just like the instructions are just put the things in the bowl, let them cook, eat the things. And so even I can do it. And I did. And it was glorious. But like sitting in a matcha, this kind of traditional Kyoto townhouse, right? It's just such a nice experience because you're really shut off from the world. Like in the video, I don't know if it captured it, but it was just so bloody cozy because it's hidden down this like side street off another big road and then down a alleyway. And it was really well hidden. And you sort of go in and it's really shut off from the world. You've got your own little private Zen garden and your sukiyaki. Yeah, it's glorious. Really quite nice. It's a good place.
I like you talking about the shutters, the kind of like vertical, like sort of thin wooden shutters that were very slats, in vogue in like the 14th century or the 13th century in Kyoto, because there was a lot of social upheaval. I was like, Jesus, how soft are the people of Kyoto that they couldn't break down a couple of small wooden slats to get inside?
I've always wondered what those were for, the kind of metal, the wooden slats, right? Apparently it's for that. But also, after the old conflict in the 14th century, they're just good because the streets are quite narrow and people are just walking straight past your living room. It kind of gives a bit of privacy, right? People can't see in.
Yeah.
No, they definitely can because they're wooden slats that you can look straight through. But anyway, beautiful. When you come over next, we'll have to take you down there. And it was the first...
Oh, every month, every week you say this and I'm so upset.
Just imagine. It's going to be great. I was like, The only video I've made in Kyoto, I think, was with you. And it's like the most disappointing Kyoto video, because it's like people are like, oh, go on, Chris, take us on a tour of Kyoto, show us the King Kakuji Temple, show us the Philosopher's Path, and I'm like, no, let's go look at a monkey park and then make some models, make some toys.
Well, we sort of arrived arrived in the middle of the night, didn't we, I guess, after a short drive down the coast, and it was very, very lovely, but it was quite rainy and dark when we got there, and then the next day we just dicked about. So
hopefully I've made up for that now with this latest Kyoto video. I'll tell you what I haven't done, though. I still haven't been to the Tom Hanks restaurant. As brought up in recent episodes, we've had... I can't remember the name of the chap that went to a restaurant and was tempted in a few weeks ago by the restaurant, the restaurateur that owned it, who... He brought out a picture of Tom Hanks and was like, come and eat here. Tom Hanks has been here. And funnily enough, after we read that out, we received a message from Sylvia from Ottawa. Hello, Sylvia. And she says, hi, Pete and Chris. I've been to that sober restaurant. It's a sober place near Akihabara. When you get the English menu, the picture of Tom Hanks eating there is on the first page. We went in when it was really busy, so there was no explanation. We just got the menu and surprise, there's Tom Hanks. It's a place called Kandamatsuya. If I recall correctly, more restaurants should have pictures of Tom Hanks on their menu, I say. Hungry regards, Sylvia. There you go. I wonder how many folks... This is the podcast, isn't it, for the future? Just people messaging us that they've also been to the Tom Hanks restaurant near Akihabara. In all its glory.
There's a speaking of the Tinseltown and celluloid and restaurants and stuff. There is a fairly well-known little bar in Shibuya, and I'm probably talking about this before, but there is basically it's just a little bar that only does cocktails. But it's called Hajigatsu no Kujira, which I think is Whales of August. is that right? Would that
be
right?
You say Kujira?
Hajigatsu, yeah, no Kujira.
Really? Well, but it is Whales of August.
So Whales of August, I believe, is a film. But every single cocktail, and they've got hundreds on their books that they can make, every single cocktail is named after a film. But the great thing about it is that a lot of Japanese people clearly don't know what was popular film-wise in the West versus the East. So there's just films about, like, American Pie, The College Years, next to Jaws, next to Face Off, next to Apocalypse Now, next to Paddington 2, the movie. It just doesn't make any bloody sense. It's fantastic. If you ever get a chance, I heartily recommend Hajigatsu no Kujira because it's just all, they're just loads of weirdly named cocktails. Some of them in katakana, but some of them written in English. Either way, just confusing.
So you go in and you're like, I want a Face Off, and then they make a drink based on the John Woo classic.
Yeah.
what's in that? What would be in it?
I tell you, and it doesn't make any sense. None of the drinks make any sense. If there is a famous drink in a film, yeah, of course they'll be, you know, they'll be able to make that. But no, I mean, there's usually no connection between the drink and the film, and the films are chosen by random, absolute random.
I've walked past it quite a few times. I remember you mentioned it a couple of years back, and I walked past it, and I was tempted to go in. It's quite an intimidating looking bar, right? It's one of those bars where there's just some stairs leading down into nothingness, and you've got to pluck up the courage to go down and you know, tackle it head on. But I've not had the courage until now. But I will go for it. It's really near the Shibuya Crossing, right? It's like 2 minutes from Shibuya Crossing.
It's near Basketball Street. It's on Basketball Street, I believe.
There you go. I'll add that to my hit list, along with the Tom Hanks restaurant. We've got a story of the week this week from Jeremy from Montreal, Canada. And it ties into a story I told a few weeks ago. When I was in Onomichi in Hiroshima, I was sitting at a dock, I had a beer, and a Japanese guy came over, discovered I was from the UK, and then for the next 25 minutes, he reeled off every single aspect, every facet of British culture that he knew. He didn't go into detail, he literally just said, oh, Oxford University, yeah, Princess Diana, yeah, fish and chips, yeah. And it just went like 25 minutes. And Jeremy had a similar experience. He says, hello, Chris and Pete. When I heard last Sunday's story about a Japanese random dude coming up to Chris and blurting out a list of UK-related things, I felt like I had to chime in with my own version of the exact same situation. My wife and I visited Japan in January 2018. One day, as we were waiting for our train, a random Japanese bloke with very limited English came up to us and asked where we were from. I answered that we were both Canadians. His face immediately lit up as he said, oh, Bryan Adams. My wife and I answered, Bryan Adams, because Canada, right? Yeah. And then he continued, oh, heaven, oh. And then we went, yeah, heaven, yes, good song. And then he goes, oh, Summer of 69. Then we say, yeah, oh, yeah, Summer of 69. We know that one. That's good, that. At this point, my knowledge of Bryan Adams was exhausted. But he went on and on. Run to you. Oh. Then he ponders a while. Oh, everything I do it for you. After several song titles later, he abruptly turned around and went, oh, thank you. And then just walked off. What an enthusiastic chap. I wished my Japanese was better, as I feel it could have turned into an awesome encounter. Cheers, Jeremy from Montreal. I don't know. Bryan Adams is a really big deal in Japan. My good friend Yuki, he every time in his car, he owns this massive American Jeep for whatever reason. And it really stands out amongst the small cars. And he just blurts out Bryan Adams and the Star Wars soundtrack. You've got one of like two potential soundtracks. It's either Star Wars or Bryan Adams, and I don't know why.
Or Bryan Adams. You would think that the Groover from Vancouver would be except he's not actually from Vancouver, he's from somewhere else. But he, you would think that he would, it wouldn't be a big deal in Japan. But I guess it's that kind of like 90s people discovering American like pop culture kind of, maybe that's the connection. I can't really figure out really, but look, he knows how to write a pop song.
He's all right. I do like Run to You because it's on
about cheating on your wife.
It's on the, oh god, it's on the yeah, it's a good song. I heard it on Vice City, GTA Vice City, and that's what triggered my 80s obsession. So it's on there, isn't it?
I'd love to go back and play a bit of Vice City. That'd be lovely. That
it's a great
lovely
game.
Old job.
I don't know if the graphics really hold up in the same way GoldenEye is a bit unplayable. Although many people have wanted me killed for saying that. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear more of this, more of stories of you guys that have travelled Japan, mentioned your country, and then had every aspect of your entire culture reeled off to you in 20 minutes. So let us know if that's happened again.
And if you want to have a go at Chris about his hatred of GoldenEye, or how it's not...
Well, I love GoldenEye. But, I mean... Loved it.
Well, look, some games you go back and you start playing and you go, oh, it's not as good as I remember. Actually, a mate sent me, he does PR for Evercade. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's like a little kind of Nintendo Switch kind of a little games console, right? And you can either play it on with a little screen that's included, or you can plug it into your telly over HDMI. And basically... You can buy all these games for this little games machine, and it's not like a normal kind of retro emulating machine. It's basically they've licensed all of these games, so you get like collections from like games that used to be on the Atari Lynx or games that were made by the developers Interplay. My favourite one is the one that's the Oliver Twins. Remember Dizzy? You probably don't remember
Good
Dizzy.
Lord,
you're
mate.
Too young for it, but
Dizzy.
it was a talking egg that used to hang out with a lot of other eggs, and it was like a little graphic adventure, little platformy adventure. You had little objects and stuff, and I love the puzzles in it. And it was on every exercise book I owned, on every binder, on every folder, I used to draw this little egg called Dizzy, and he was really, really charming. He's my favourite thing ever. And so they've licensed all these games, and they come in little kind of boxes and little kind of cartridges, and you put them in the back of this Evercade thing. And people who buy retro games, they actually quite like boxes. It's like the Japanese thing, like you find all these Neo Geo games from back in the day. They're boxed and they're beautifully put together, and they've got a little instructions manual, so they're kind of taking it back to that a little bit. I was really impressed, actually. I was really impressed with the product. So there's my plug for Evercade.
Well, no, I get it. Like, I
was
the physical,
just really surprised.
Just holding physical things, right?
Yeah.
The digital world. It's nice to go back to that, right?
Well, do you remember like when you were a kid, like getting a video game, and you know, you'd be on... I remember buying a video game called Air Train, which is like a weird SimCity game based around trains. Even though I didn't like SimCity, I had no interest in trains, but I went to York one day with my mum and dad, and I was like, well, I've got to buy a game. I've got, you know, a bit of money in my pocket, burning a hole. I'm going to buy a game. And just reading the manual on the way back and smelling the plastic, and oh man, takes me back. So it brought me back to being 8 years old again.
Yeah, no, I used to love that. I remember, I think when I got the first GTA game, it comes with a little map and stuff. And I remember pulling it out of the case and studying it and being like, where am I going to go to, and things like that. Like, I miss that. I'd still get, you know, still get the physical games on PlayStation 4, but I don't know. It's just not the same,
the
is it? Nostalgia.
You don't get the manuals, no. Exactly.
Take us back to the 90s. I don't know how to segue from that into our new news story this week about the most chilled prefecture in Japan. How can you make a segue up, Pete? Go on, you're a genius.
Listen, how important the artifact is in our lives. It takes us, I'm going to do a Dom Draper here, it takes us back to the person, the people we were when we were young, and when we didn't have a problem in the world, and we were relaxed and we were chilled. I'd like to go back to that time. I'd like to go to that space. Chris, where's the most chilled part of Japan?
Hey, well done. It kind of pulled it off there.
Thank you.
Methodical.
I've not done radio for a long time.
Very methodical. Yes, we have a new story this week on the most chilled prefecture in Japan, the place where the folks in their 20s are the most free from any worries, which is a rare thing in Japan. People are always quite anxious and always worried about something. But in a questionnaire conducted by the Brand Research Institute, 16,000 Japanese adults in their 20s were surveyed about what they were concerned about. And unsurprisingly, the most common response was low income, with 41% of responses. But the study revealed the prefecture in Japan where people are the least worried about things, the most sort of chilled out. And now I want you to guess where it is. Go. There's 47 prefectures. Which is the most chilled?
Right, okay.
Or city?
It's got to be Okinawa, hasn't it? It's got to be Okinawa, because it's like everyone's a beach bum down there. Surely.
It's a good guess, and I think most people would probably guess that, including myself. But no, take another guess.
Okay, where is the Devil's Washboard? Where did I go a couple of trips ago? In Kyushu. Kyushu. Not Kyushu. In Kyushu. Where's that big bear from? Where's that big silly black bear
from? Kumamon.
Kumamoto.
No.
Yeah, but I think it's Kumamoto.
But very close, very close. I'll give you one more chance, and then I'm going to have to shoot you and throw you out the back of the plane.
Is it... Nagoya.
Nagoya. No, I'm afraid it is Fukuoka. Nagoya's bloody miles from Kumamon.
What?
Fukuoka, your favourite city in Japan, in the world.
It is.
You love it, don't you?
Good.
And now...
It's got a lovely mix of city life and boozing, and everyone's bloody lovely. The street food's brilliant. Oh, man, I love Fukuoka.
Well, when I interviewed Hyde, the rock star, Japan's biggest rock star last year, I asked him... in a bit of interview that I didn't actually feature, I asked him, like, where's your favourite city in Japan? Where do you want to recommend people to go to? And he said Fukuoka for the food and the nightlife and the people. And, yeah, apparently 40% aren't worried, don't have any worries, which is quite an impressive statistic. 40% of folks in their 20s in Fukuoka are just laid back. They're not worried. They're not on the edge of their seat like everyone else is. I wonder why that is, though. It didn't really... kind of dive into why in the study, but that's just the answer they got. I guess people are just chilled.
Maybe they're thick. Maybe everyone there's thick.
I think it's to do with the weather. It's just kind of, Fukuoka is kind of seen as the kind of startup capital of Japan. Like, it's up and coming. It's one of these places where people are starting their businesses. I think there's some sort of good rates there for businesses, but it's just kind of like, it's got a good temperature all round. It's got a bit of a beach culture. Like, the city of Fukuoka has a really nice beach just on the waterfront there, so you could be in the city one minute and be out on the beach the next. And you know, from there, I think that's the closest point to the island of Tsushima, where the video game is set. So there you go, live in Fukuoka, have some Hakata tonkotsu pork broth ramen, and then get on the boat to Tsushima and pretend you're in the video game, run around in a samurai suit, samurai armour, wave the sword around, live the dream.
Works for me. Definitely.
But I've,
it sounds bloody lovely right now.
I'd love to go back there, but it's so far away, right? It feels like the edge of the earth from where I am. But I'm going to be passing through there for Journey Across Japan 3, so I might have a chance to go through it again. Might have a chance. One place we were recently... last year was Mount Fuji, and also this week Toyota has announced they're building the City of the Future, a 175-acre smart city at the base of Mount Fuji, which they've dubbed the Woven City. Why do you think they've called it the Woven City, Pete?
I don't know, because, I mean, presumably they're all about, like, electronics, so surely you would call it the Robot City or something like that. I'd have not a clue. Yeah, it's like... Yeah, why is it called Woven City?
Because it's
you with all the answers.
It's about weaving together technology and humanity, Pete, and nothing to do with fabric.
Nice, like it.
When I read it, I thought, all right, they're going to make fabric or something. Wrong. Apparently they're going to test out lots of technologies: robotics, smart homes, artificial intelligence, with a starting population of 360 inventors and families with young children to test and develop these technologies, eventually housing 2,000 people. They're going to have, like, lots of self-driving cars in the city as well, which are going to be powered by hydrogen fuel cells. Toyota's banking that hydrogen fuel cells are going to be the sort of the energy of the future to power cars. It's a pretty cool idea. Like, the photos of this place look phenomenal, and they've got this this little kind of like little bus called an e-pallet, which is used to, like, transport people around. And The buildings are made to be carbon neutral. They're made of wood. The rooftops are all going to have photovoltaic panels to generate solar energy. And apparently the vegetation is going to be grown without soil using some sort of hydroponic technique, which I'm not going to pretend like I know what that is. But it looks pretty, no, honestly, it looks pretty cool.
Weed, innit? It's how they grow weed in lofts, innit?
And they're all going to get high and ride around in the self-driving
cars. Head shops.
But it looks really cool.
Exactly.
There's a lot of these cities springing up in Japan at the moment. It's like the new trend at the moment. Lots of cities are becoming smart cities and being very vague about it. But this one is actually the first one that looks like they're really going to do it, given that Toyota's backing it. Toyota, Japan's biggest company, so they're not short of cash. But what do you make of it?
I wonder which side of Mount Fuji it is, because it kind of looks like in the sort of Kofu region. Obviously, my favourite football team are there. J League's just kicked off once again, the season is upon us once more. But it looks very, very pretty. The artist rendering. I now these days, right? I can't tell the difference between, you know, when you see like an architectural model of something and a real house, because the kind of draft renders that they do are so good. I was looking at houses recently down in Leon C, and there was one, and I was like, oh, this one looks amazing. Let's get this one. This one looks like affordable. Look how clean it all looks. And my partner pointed out that it hadn't been built yet, and it was just a drawing.
Oh.
I was like, oh no, I've absolutely fallen for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Terrible.
I love how idealistic they always are. The sort of renderings, right? Because they have to make it look amazing, way better than it's ever going to be.
Like a big multicultural, kind of multi-ethnic wonderland in these kind of things, and everyone's happy and everyone's like having a lovely time.
Yeah, it always looks very idealistic, but the final version's not quite far from it. But I'd love to go to this place. I'm all well up for the future. Get me some self-driving cars. Get me an e-palette.
Well, no, you don't want that, because in the last video with you and Ryotaro jumped out of a moving golf cart pretending to get run over and nearly got told off by a hotel staff member.
Forgot about that.
Terrible.
Forgot about that. Was brilliant.
Yeah.
How did I forget about that?
Naughty little boy.
Went to the inn with had a self-driving cart that takes you to your room at a painfully slow pace that could... It felt like being in a cutscene for a really crappy video game, because I was sitting in the back of the car.
Oh, it's Half-Life 1. It was just waiting to arrive.
Half-Life, but Ryotaro was the protagonist. And, it was quite surreal. And there was also, when I took it out of the video, a gondola that went up the side of the mountain that took us to the room. A really patronisingly small gondola that went up for like 10 seconds. Really quite an impressive place, yeah. That was a cool inn. And it was only like $250.
Brilliant.
Couldn't believe it. Get a good bang for your buck at a Japanese inn. Before we dive into the fax machine, we're going to take a quick bake. Back in a minute.
Whoa, hydroponics, baby. We're going to get a bacon. 411.
Oh, God. Back in a moment.
Since Amelia. Sweet Mary Jane.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this yeah. shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week at Sukarnov.
On Clash of the Titles, things got a little awkward when Alex, Vicky and Chris discussed the Incredible Hulk going to the hairdressers.
Have you never had a haircut and gone, that is not what I asked for?
I can't remember what it's like to go to the hairdressers.
Oh, God, sorry. That's triggering. Sorry.
That's on me.
Bad move.
Yeah,
bad absolutely. Yeah, that is on you. Yeah.
Absolutely. I forgot.
Because we haven't seen you for such a yeah. long time. We forgot you've got no hair.
I'm still bald. So. Yeah, it hasn't grown back magically since we last spoke.
And over on Football Ramble Presents, the On the Continent team have been keeping you across all the European knockouts, as well as a possible title race in Ligue 1 as well.
Icardi can be so frustrating because he can be just one of the most impressive finishers. But you know, when he's not quite on it, he's kind of like the David Blaine in football. Like, he spends a lot of time in a box not doing anything.
Find Clash of the Titles and Football Ramble Presents on your favourite podcast player and listen now.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
We are back from our bake. And now we're going to dive into the fax machine. What have we got in the fax machine this week, Mr. Donaldson? Don't laugh at me.
If I can even see the screen in front of me, man, I'm so baked. Dear Chris and Pete, I wanted to share a strange celebrity sighting my partner and I had when we were in Japan in August 2019, as we were mentioning such things in the last episode. We were wandering around Shibuya and came across the Freaks store, which had a huge cardboard cutout of Matty Matheson, who was a local Toronto celebrity chef. We were surprised to see such a reminder of our hometown, so we popped in. The staff ladies were nice but also super giggly. We thought it was odd but didn't know if it was something we were doing or not, so we left as we didn't want to offend. Just a few steps out, we noticed three huge bodyguards and two tiny people. It was Justin Bieber and his wife Hailey Baldwin. Wow. Would you believe? He was putting stickers of his clothing line on walls and posts nearby, but when his bodyguards heard me say, can you believe that we are from Toronto, but it took us a flight to Tokyo to see Justin Bieber, they hurried him into a big SUV so fast that I thought I dreamt the whole thing. I truly don't care about Justin much, but there's something so funny about this little Canadian corner in the middle of Shibuya. I've attached my creepy photo from afar. You can see JB in his neon yellow Crocs ridiculous. He's wearing like kind of like hockey socks as well. Haley and also one of his bodyguards giving me some super suspicious side eyes. The guy who is looking after Justin Bieber looks statuesque, magnificent. I wouldn't mess with the guy. Yeah, love the show. Hope you're keeping well. Katie, fantastic message from Katie there. Just stalking Justin Bieber in Shibuya.
People always call me out for my dress sense, but he's taking the piss with his hockey socks and yellow shoes. Come off it. I'm immaculately well-dressed in comparison. I don't know how I'd feel seeing Justin Bieber down the street of Shibuya. I don't really...
I just... People who sort of travel and work and can... You know, I'm feeling very trapped at the moment. I can't go to Japan. I really want to go to Japan. I want to go visit China. I want to do Korea again. I want to do Taiwan. I want to sort of go back to the places I've been and enjoyed. And I can't. But I imagine... And you sort of hear on the grapevine that if you are minted enough, the world is your playground. You can kind of get around a lot of the rules. You can sort of get, you know, Rita Ora can go to Australia to do a TV show for $1 million. You know, I reckon Justin Bieber can probably go where he wants. So I don't like his life. It seems a bit miserable that everything's kind of come a bit too easy, you know, not a bit too easy, but you know what I mean, like, he's walking on Shibuya, he's not really appreciating it, and it's just another town that isn't, you know, Los Angeles, where he probably resides, but I do sort of go, I imagine he could probably go to any city, any country in the world, and just do it, because he's Justin Bieber. So he may be wearing stupid yellow Crocs, but I do want to be him right now, because I reckon he could probably travel wherever he wanted right now.
Justin Donaldson. I mean, what I don't understand is there's a line that Katie said, right? He was putting stickers of his clothing line on walls and posts nearby when his bodyguards heard me say, can you believe we've come all the way here to see him? What was he doing? What does that mean? Putting stickers?
The company probably got him to, graffito up Shibuya or something for some kind of stunt. I don't know. Oh, he's just probably just been a dick. I don't know.
It reminds me of the time...
I had a lot of stickers in his carry-on.
He went to Anne Frank's house and left a diary entry saying, I hope she would have been a believer. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Believer, yes, yes.
Hopefully he's grown up since then. Fucking hell. We got one here. Hello, Chris and Pete, from a fellow Chris. Upon hearing the Tinder dates drama on your previous podcast last week, I thought I'd comment on my own experience. My first incident was on a date with Asato. I love he's just bad taking her now. My date with Asato. Everything was going well, and we had finished lunch, and then she asked me if I'd eaten enough, and I wanted to show off my basic Japanese. So what I wanted to say was, onakai pai, literally, I'm full. But the thing that came out was, onaka, oppai, literally stomach, big breasts, making the girl burst out in laughter. I guess you could call it a Freudian slip. Keep up the great work, lads, from a fellow Chris. Oh dear, easy mistake. We've all done it.
Especially if you buy one of those, because you can buy oppai pudding, can't you? From I certainly have in the past. Bought those little kind of like those custard tarts that are. It says oppai pudding, and they've got little nipples on them. It's pathetic, but
souvenirs
kind of works.
Buy a few, take them back home, melted in your suitcase. Oppai pudding. Oh boy.
Fantastic. We got a message from speaking about seeing a picture of Tom Hanks and also Justin Bieber. A lot of... is this celebrity pockmark, this series? What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at, you?
Just... I think it's the celebrity... yeah, carry on.
Okay, yeah, all right, yeah. Hi, chaps. Regarding the most recent episode of the podcast when you discussed celebrity encounters in Japan, I thought I'd let you know about the time I met Sean Williamson, a.k.a. Barry from EastEnders, in a bar in Fukuoka back in 2016. You may have seen him in Ricky Gervais's Extras 2 or singing at the pool, singing at the snooker. How do we, to the international listeners, describe Barry from EastEnders?
I don't watch EastEnders, but I know Sean Williamson. British TV
he's
actor.
Sort of like
actor,
he would
a bit of a
yeah. Yeah, good actor, but he just it's like he would be a bit part character, the comedy relief in a TV show like Days of Our Lives.
That'll do.
Does that make sense in America, I suppose? Or just a terrible Mexican telenovela. I cannot for the life of me remember the name of the bar, but I have vivid memories of walking in and one of my friends immediately shouting, "Barry from EastEnders, you tank!" He actually looked quite happy that he'd been spotted and made small talk with us while we waited to get served. Though, intriguingly, when we asked what he was doing in Japan, he replied, "Well, you'll have to wait and see," and gave us a very self-assured look, which was interesting because I don't think I've ever seen or heard of him since that encounter. We left him to it and decided not to bother him for the rest of the night, but he was a really nice guy, and it made me wonder if he's ever appeared on Japanese TV. I realise this anecdote is deeply pointless. It'll mean nothing to our listeners outside the UK, but I thought you might be amused to hear it, and maybe Chris can fill us in on whether Barry from EastEnders is a beloved actor in Japan like he is in Britain. All the best. Keep up the good work, Ben.
Absolutely. Whenever you are ask any kid in Japan why they want to be an actor or actress, they always say because of Barry. Barry from EastEnders,
Barry
Sean Williamson.
From EastEnders.
I love that line though. What are you doing here, Sean? Well, you'll have to wait and see.
Well.
And then nothing happens.
Wait and see, won't you?
I know. I love that. Whenever I go back to the UK, I often get spotted by people and they come and say hello. And next time someone asks, Chris, what are you doing back in the UK? I'm going to go, well, you're going to have to wait and see, aren't you? And then just sort of give them a wink and walk off and nothing was going to happen.
I'm being investigated for tax problems.
Oh, boy.
You'll have to wait and see.
Good old Sean Williamson. That's a fine rounding off there. Fantastic. For all the celebrities we've encountered. Mm. Justin Bieber in a shop putting stickers on a wall, Tom Hanks with Sober, and Sean Williamson getting drunk in Fukuoka. Fantastic. Keep the stories coming, guys. If you meet any other celebrities in Japan, let us know at the abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Keep them coming to the fact machine, but for now, no matter where you are out there in the big wide world, we'll see you on Sunday. Have a good one.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.